9:30 on a Monday morning, and for me that means it's time for City Matters, a time for me to welcome in members of the staff of the City of Bartlesville, and led by interim City Manager Mike Bailey, although the City Manager was around for Friday's noon hour meeting and gave the invocation.
He was. We didn't ask for his permission. Which is sort of, I believe everybody in this room could agree. What's Ed saying? It is
easier to ask for forgiveness than it is permission.
And I usually alter that to say it's better. And he informed me that he never said that. He just said it was easier.
Oh, okay.
So we usually go with better.
Well, I was somewhat surprised, but not shocked, that you simply called on a member of, at that time, the audience for the invocation. But of course, Ed always is prepared.
He is always prepared. Of course, the mayor and I may have spent a few minutes planning that ahead of time, but I won't.
Collusion?
I would never admit that publicly, Charlie.
Oh, I won't ask you to. Although you just did.
Maybe.
Anyway, good morning, and
good morning,
you brought
Charlie.
A gaggle of people with you this morning.
We do. We filled up your booth here. This is an intimidating group. I've got several of them here with me. They'll all have a little part today, but I've got Terry Lauritsen, former
water utility director,
former city engineer.
He's still properly qualified without the title.
Well, and in fact, he's kind of jumped back in a little bit here to help with this GO bond that we just passed, because there were so many projects and they're going to be coming at us so fast.
Jim Bonsack factor getting
there. There you go. Yeah. We're going to have everything under construction at once, Charlie. Okay. That's the goal. That's the goal. We've really, and that was always Terry's goal, which is he had the expertise, and that's why we brought him over, is to try to get as much disruption as possible. He's sitting in the corner. He doesn't even have a mic. He can't defend himself if he wanted to, which was the purpose, of course. So I also have Keith Henry here with me, Public Works Director, in charge of about 75% of the city. He lets the rest of us do stuff occasionally,
how
but not,
kind
not
of
all
you?
That often.
It's nice of them to let me have all that, Charlie.
I'll let you have it, right?
And back between the eyes, no doubt.
Absolutely.
And with him, I have he has his number one guy, or number two guy, or number three guy. I don't know. I won't put words in his mouth. But we have Bobby Robinson. Bobby's here. He is in charge of parks and park maintenance. And then sitting in the other corner, we have the other city engineer.
The one with the title.
Micah Seamers. Yeah, that's right. The one that still has the title. We've got a gaggle of us here. Are we on?
We are on.
Facebook? By the way, Bobby, yeah. I'm going to give you a heads up. Charlie didn't tell me. Smile.
Good
enough. don't. Careful where you're scratching. You're on camera, my friend. That's right. Right there. See? There you go. Oh, Keith, look.
Wow. The glare is lovely.
I like it. Yeah, that's it. Kind of shiny. I forgot to tell you to powder your forehead, Keith.
Yeah, I didn't know this.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Well, Charlie, I thought we'd start off. It's a little late for an announcement, but last week I wanted to talk a little bit about a ceremony that was held down at the fire department.
Why don't you go ahead and do that?
We had a special ceremony on April 19th. That was to honor those who were killed or injured in the April 19th, 1995 bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. This was held at Central Fire Station. And I have to tell you, this involved the Honor Guard. It also involved a ceremony that the tree dedication. As you know, there's a seedling of the survivor tree that sits just to the north of City Hall, between City Hall and the ConocoPhillips building. I'm not sure. I can't ever remember. The POB. I always have to look in here. Micah worked there for a little bit, so he can tell me what all the names of the towers are. Just to learn the names of the buildings. So the sits between City Hall and the POB. And there was a cutting from that was dedicated down at the new Public Safety Center. And that was part of this ceremony. The Bartlesville Fire Department Honor Guard was involved. There was a prayer, a moment of silence, and some remarks by the chief and the training officer of the fire department. So it was a great event. The Honor Guard is new to the city of Bartlesville, probably
about a year ago.
Yeah, maybe a little over. Anyway, it really has been. Those guys do a great job. They're very proud of that. There was quite a competition. There was a lot of interest in being part of the Honor Guard. So I just wanted to take a moment to recognize them for the work that they've done there. And it really was a great ceremony. It was well attended, had a lot of dignitaries Anyway, a great event. And now that Terry's here and he's sitting as far away as he can, and I really hope that's on Facebook Live.
He's
well, I suspect your lower half may be in the camera shot. He's the one that you can only see back here about from the waist down.
I have a face that's meant for radio.
He as usual, decided to go his own way and chose the really tall chair while the rest of us sit down here below him. Terry,
we can adjust the focus on the camera if necessary.
I really think we should. I really think we should bring that focus in directly on Terry.
I'll crouch down a little bit.
Okay.
But Terry, as I said, is Water Utilities Director, and that's still his primary role. But with all of the projects that we had coming on with this next GO bond, Terry has agreed to come over and help out as project manager on some of the projects that'll be going out for. We'll actually be issuing the bonds in June and in the fall. But the one that Terry took on in particular was the Tower Green. And so the Tower Green, last Monday, Terry, the council actually passed a resolution to create a committee. Could you talk a little bit about the committee and what they're trying to do with that?
Well, the committee really is to help guide the group into selecting kind of the components and the makeup of the project and what elements are going to be within it. And so to do that, we thought and council was very forthright in saying that we want a committee that's comprised of all the interested parties. So there's members of the tower, Price Tower, the community center. The city has two council members, and then there's going to be three members at large. And right now they're going through an application process similar to what we do with other committees to select these three individuals. And so if you're interested in serving this this project and in this capacity, we encourage you to submit your application. You can do that online through the City of Bartlesville's website, or you can turn in your application to the city manager's office on the second floor at City Hall. So we encourage everybody that's interested in this project to get involved, and this is really your opportunity to be on the ground floor with this particular project.
Thank you, Terry. This is one of the highest visibility projects and one of the highest profile projects out of that GO bond.
That's why you're sitting on the high chair.
There you go. I think that was what it is. And he will be ably assisted by Lisa Beeman. Both Lisa and Terry will share the project manager title on this one. Lisa will be more heavily involved in the beginning with the design and the planning. And of course, Terry will handle, as Lisa says, the boring stuff when it comes time to actually start pouring concrete and moving dirt. So that it's a very good partnership between the two of them. The two council members that are involved in this have been deeply involved for a long time. Oh no, we're actually watching on Facebook Live.
It's a little bit delay because it takes a while for the stream to go out into Facebook land and come back on their phone. So they're seeing a little bit delayed from real reaction.
And of course, the two sitting in the corner that are debating the shininess of their heads over there in the corner. I can't take you guys anywhere.
Micah, there is a light switch right behind you that would kill some of that glare.
Yeah. Great. All right. Well, thank you all for that brief interlude there. We talked about our lack of hair here in this room. But and Charlie, so
yes.
Over or upcoming, we also have the spring cleanup program. And it just so happens that we have Mr. Keith Henry here, who is in charge of the spring cleanup program. He probably has no information on it because I didn't tell him we were even going to talk about this.
But since he's in charge, he already knows everything.
That's right.
Hi, Keith.
I was counting
on it. Good morning. Glad to be here.
Yeah. If I can interrupt your viewing pleasure there. Spring cleanup, that's the coupon program, right?
Spring cleanup was a popular program that the citizens have been inquiring about quite a bit recently. We did elect to establish the program again this year. So we recently sent out the coupons that the customers are familiar with. They should have started getting those in the mail, I believe in April 19th when they started to go out in the utility bills. So they'll go out in the billing on April the 26th, May the 10th, and May the 17th. So you should receive one by those dates. If you have not received one by then, if you'd contact the utility billing office downtown, we'd be glad to take care of you and get you a coupon. That is a popular program. A lot of citizens are take advantage of that program. Again, you know, make sure they follow the rules that are laid out there, and items that cannot be brought, chemicals such as that, tires, different things like that, it's all spelled out in their coupon. We might mention while we're talking about that, it actually is over now, but Operation Clean House was last weekend.
And even though it was a wet Saturday, a lot of participation.
Well, I haven't got a lot of results back from it yet. Micah may have a little info on it. We do participate in that program financially and with some support of some containers that they drop off some of the recyclables in and the items they want to dispose of. So, it's a popular program. Micah, was you out there this weekend?
I was not. No, actually I wasn't. So we were supposed to have a baseball tournament this weekend that got canceled. And so I thought I might get out there, and then my wife got bronchitis. So since I do have 14 kids at the house.
Four of which are yours.
Four I don't know
where the
mine.
Other 10 came from.
They all piled on John Denver's feather bed. I know.
So I actually didn't get out there. I did try to call this morning, didn't get a hold of them to see if there were some preliminary numbers on it, but couldn't reach them this morning, some of the folks that were involved. But
it is a popular program.
I believe it
started back in 1989. Says they've disposed of over 1 million pounds of products since they've started the program in 1989.
Well, so last year they just got across the 1 million pound threshold, I think. So.
And of course, you mentioned, Keith, that we're part of this, but this is a much broader consortium.
Yes, there's several sponsors. Of course, Phillips 66, ConocoPhillips, Chevron Phillips, Bartlesville Community Foundation, Washington County ourselves. Several other sponsors, Delaware Tribe, Dinks, Kelleher, KWON, Walmart, lots of sponsors.
We did have a comment from Brian Wolfert, who was among the organizers for that, and we talked to him roughly midday. He was calling it a success then.
Right now I know we're over 525, 550 cars.
That is a ton of cars.
You know, for
the Dewey side as well, and we got at least 150 cars there as well.
Considering the weather, that's really good.
Absolutely, yeah, we're really impressed. We're probably on pace to beat last year's numbers as well, so it's a really nice turnout so far.
Sounds good. Yeah, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
We might also mention, we've talked about the coupon that we just mailed out or is being mailed out for the residential cleanup. Usually every spring and every fall, the city also offers a curbside collection of leaf and grass. And again, this is just for leaf and grass only. You can bag your yard waste up and set it out the curb on your normal collection day, which the week of May the 7th is the week we're going to offer this program. So on the week of May the 7th, if you'll bag up your leaves and grass, and if you have sticks, you want to bundle them up in no longer than 3 foot lengths and no more than 50 pounds and set those out beside your poly cart about 5 feet away. There will be probably a separate truck that will come by on your normal collection day of that week, and we'll gather those up for you and dispose of those items also.
Okay, which is another regular occurring, I wouldn't say annual because it probably isn't, but regularly occurring service.
It is typically, you know, we kind of assess it year to year, but typically we're able to offer that program twice a year, once in the spring and once in the fall.
Yeah, good deal.
And so, Charlie, the Operation Clean House is typically done in conjunction with Earth Day, which, of course, was celebrated this weekend. So we had Earth Day that was celebrated. We also are celebrating a National Mayor's Challenge for Water Conservation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is both of these events are pretty big in the city of Bartlesville. Also in conjunction with Earth Day, Bobby, we did, I believe we did an Arbor Day celebration, and of course the weather may not have cooperated with you, but
it's been rainy the last 3 or 4 years.
Good morning. Yes, we did have our Arbor Day ceremony this Saturday. It started at 11 o'clock. I'd like to thank the citizens that showed up for the event to help support us, and also our sponsors, AEPPSO and the Green Thumb Garden Club. We planted a nut all oak at Douglas Park, and that tree will provide future shade for the new playground that will be installed at Douglas Park. Hopefully we'll see that up in the next 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks.
I believe so. They said that they would have all the projects completed by the end of April, and I believe they're on schedule to do that. Douglas is the only one that they really have got a lot to do there. They're just getting ready to start that project. The other three projects are probably 95% complete.
Great.
Thank you. So, Bobby, it was obviously it was pretty hardy souls who came out to join you.
It was. Everyone was wearing raincoats and bringing umbrellas. We did have a tent up, and we cooked hot dogs.
I was going to say, they came for the free hot dog.
That's it.
That's it. If you will brave the weather for a free hot dog, you are a hardy soul indeed.
And AEPPSO also gave away pine trees and oak trees at the event. So
it really is a great event. And again, we appreciate you doing that, Bobby, and you've done that for a number of years.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah, it is a great event. Now back to Earth Day and National Mayor's Challenge for Water Conservation. One of the larger future projects, one of the more important future projects that we have going on is our water reuse project. And that, Terry Lauritsen, if he can manage to get his big old stool up here next to me, then maybe we can talk a little bit about that. Can you give everybody an update on where we are with the water reuse project, Terry?
Well, sure. Let me get my face. So I'm right here on Facebook Live. And Charlie, if you'll bring up the slideshow presentation,
You didn't send it to me.
Oh, I did? No. Oh, darn it.
Fair to communicate.
Technology is great, but then it's a crutch. Well, let me start back just a little bit to refresh people's memory. In 2001, we had a significant drought that really revealed the vulnerability of our water supply. So we were working through a water resources committee that was created in conjunction or after that event to try to get more favorable pricing from the Corps of Engineers to get water from Copan Lake. And we have kind of struggled with that for the last 14 years, really, in that effort. And we continue to work on that effort, but we have a new opportunity that really revealed itself within the last 3 or 4 years, and that's water reuse. And that's, in essence, where you take the treated wastewater and you pump it up either to your lake, river, wherever you draw water from, and release it there, and then you're able to reuse that and treat it and send it for potable application. So we started that process about a year and a half ago in working with the state to look at the various parameters and what we're looking to do. And we have a unique scenario in that our wastewater treatment plant is less than a quarter mile from one of our raw water sources there at the Caney River in Johnstone Park. And so our plan is to take the wastewater that's treated, send it upstream roughly about 5 miles along the Caney River and release it there, and then obviously recapture it at Johnstone Park. So we've done a lot of the technical studies to date, and one of the things that we were hoping for and what we thought would happen is that the reintroduction or the use of that wastewater upstream would improve the water quality of the Caney River. And we've done our studies and the technical and scientific analysis, and it really shows to be the case. So the water quality is going to improve considerably there within the park where we draw the water from. And so we've gone a couple rounds of technical review for the state. They've signed off on the concept of it, so we're doing our last submittal for them to bless it, in essence. And then once that takes place, it's going to be about a 3-month review period, because they do involve the EPA in that process, and there's going to be a public comment period in conjunction with that. So once that concludes, then we will be a full systems go for the design of the pump station and the moving forward with the actual installation. So if things go as we hope and plan, then we'll probably be under construction roughly within the next year and a half. So we're really encouraged by the process so far, the results from the quality of the water, and obviously it opens up a whole new avenue for us as far as the volume of it. But it's not the end-all solution for us as far as raw water supply for forever, but it will buy us at least 25 years so that we can continue to negotiate with the Corps of Engineers to look at either securing additional water rights on Copan Lake, the possibility of dredging Hula Lake, or there's a whole host of scenarios that we can do at Hula and Copan that would help secure raw water for the next 75 plus years. So we're encouraged with that and hopeful that effort will continue, and so we're moving forward with it. So one other thing that we're doing in conjunction with that is we're doing a contaminant of emerging concern study. So this is a study that we look at the very trace contaminants that includes pharmaceuticals, caffeine, aerosols, industrial type products. So this is in the part per billion type of threshold, so it's not anything that's regulated by the EPA currently. But we want to understand what is the quality of our wastewater, what's the quality of our current source water, and what type of constituents are included within that. So we did a sampling about a month and a half ago, and we haven't yet received the results yet from it, but we'll do 3 more samplings. One's going to be in summer, the other one's in fall, and then the last one's going to be in essence winter. So we can see if there is some sort of seasonal change in those constituents, and just to help us understand better what we have, and if we need to address those through some of the treatment technology, then we'll have the opportunity to do that.
Some of those part per billion items then would be influenced by participation in the Drug Take Back Day events and some of the things that, that have been going on, well, like Operation Clean House.
There, absolutely, right? Absolutely. Those things really go hand in hand, and, you know, I think people would sometimes put pharmaceuticals and such to, you know, flush them down the toilet, which I think at one point was the way.
That was the recommended practice at one point.
That was the way to dispose of it. So now that we know as we reuse that water and drink that water, that's not really the most beneficial way to recycle those type of materials. So as we learn more with the process and the project, and then we have these other programs that go hand in hand with it, then we're hopeful that everything is going to work out to help ensure the safe viability of the water that we're drinking and consume every day.
And I know periodically the city, probably you're required to, but you make wide distribution of information concerning testing, how we met test results, how we exceeded parameters, hopefully, or in some cases there was a variation.
Yes. We actually, by the EPA rules, we have to publish a consumer report every year, which we're getting ready to here in the next month or so. So it does look at the constituents that we test for that are known in our water supply. So we're looking at. And I won't bore you with all the chemical names for it, but you know, some of the things that people really hone in on is lead and copper. We do test for that. Now, we haven't had any incidents where we've had above the threshold that the EPA allows for lead and copper, so they've allowed us to test only once every 5 years. And so we're getting probably in the next year we'll have to test again because that five-year window will be up. But we continue to monitor the water and ensure its safety, and that's and you know, I'm able to sit up here and talk about it, but it's really the dedication of all the water plant employees and the water distribution folks that work on this day in, day out, and really ensure the safety of the water, and it's their efforts that are really making the water supply what it is. So I appreciate their efforts, and if you see one walking around with a water supply shirt, give them a big hug. And tell them you're Keith Henry. So,
make sure they hug Red Miller.
Okay. Yeah.
Hug Red Miller if you see him. So, and Charlie, it's interesting. You know, Terry talked about the dedication of the water employees. The city, and I probably should have mentioned this earlier, but the city has restarted its Employee of the Month program. Mm-hmm. It had kind of died off over the years, but the Employee Advisory Committee had asked if they could restart that, and so we've actually allowed them to do it. They take they take all of the nominations, and the program's been great. And we recognize people for life-saving. I mean, there have been some really, really significant things. But honestly, one of the coolest ones is the one that we just had this the current month, and that was one of Terry's guys recommending a police officer, Officer Clifton Johnson, because he saw him pick up a lady who was walking home in the rain with her groceries. And so we had one of Terry's guys watch one of the police guys. So those are the kind of things that are great stories, you know, that when we see all of the city guys working together and recognizing each other. And anyway, I wanted to congratulate Clifton as well. That was, he didn't save anybody's life, but just going over and above and showing kindness to people of that nature, that's not always expected in this day and age. And we truly appreciate it when our employees exhibit that kind of behavior. So, but, well, while I've got all these three guys over here, I thought we'd talk a little bit about our sports fields. The city of Bartlesville, how long ago did we take over maintenance of those fields, guys?
2 years.
2 years ago, yeah.
And that would be both soccer and baseball that we've had for the last 2 years, right?
That's correct.
So the prior to that, how were those maintained?
I would like to say that the quality of maintenance has definitely stepped up, mainly because of the volunteer status. Anytime that you have volunteers, which are great, to try to help maintain facilities, a lot of times things come up and then they can't do the work that's necessary for the time frame necessary.
It was completely volunteer based prior to that, right?
That's correct. They did a good job when they could work out there,
right.
But they couldn't be there as much as was needed for the facilities.
I know Micah and I participated in a couple of work days out at Price Fields, and it really depended on the age group of the kids as to how much got done on that day. Sure. I know that the age group our kids were in, I think we had
a pretty good group.
We had
that
a great
year.
And we had a guy bring a backhoe. It was probably from his employer, and we're not allowed to talk about it, but
don't mention that.
Had a guy bring a backhoe. Yeah. So the fields that our kids played on were in great shape.
Yeah,
but
I think
the other
we had
groups,
two fields that year that were good.
Yeah.
And I think there was four volunteers for the rest of the entire complex.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So it was, anyway, we're now able to provide a more consistent level of maintenance, I think, is my point.
That's correct.
I really am. I'm proud of the work that the guys do. I know, Bobby, your guys this winter went in and cleaned out a fence that it may not have been obvious exactly how poor a condition it was in until you removed some of the vines.
Yeah, the vegetation was more the fence than the fence.
it was Bartlesville's own green monster.
That's right. That's correct.
It turned out that the vines were the fence, that the fence itself was broken and really unsafe and probably had been based on the rust and the condition for a number of years. So you guys were able to go in and remove that. That field looks fantastic because of that.
That's field number two, and we also installed additional sod where we removed all the vegetation, and it caused the grass not to grow in those areas. So that's been done, along with sodding up around the new playground and the new concessions.
And the new concession stand is now in place. That was a partnership with I'm blanking out on the name.
Armstrong Bank.
In Dewey, when they completed their new structure, they donated that to us, and we were able to move it to the to our baseball complex. And I know that Keith, your guys had done a lot of work on that.
They have, and as you mentioned, it is open and running now. I think the Y is excited to be in there. The YMCA does run the concessions up there out of the new facility up there. It's got a deck built on it with a shade structure over top, and as Bobby mentioned, we got a playground right there on site, so seems to be a really popular site. People seem to be enjoying it, and we look forward to using it for the next couple of years. I think in the GO bond projects there's actually money in there for the construction of a new facility. There is a need for increased restrooms at the facility and on the complex itself, and the new restroom that will be built will utilize that as far as having restrooms for the public and the concession stand. So we have plans to use this for a couple of years, and the new structure should be built.
And great point. This is essentially a temporary solution to a problem that we had. The GO bond will provide a permanent solution. And while we're talking about that, Micah, can you give us an idea of sort of the timeline that we're looking at on the fields and the construction, and what the plans are that were included in this next phase of the GO bond?
Yeah, this next phase, I think we've got just over $3.6 million planned for it. We've done two phases previous, one in the northeast corner, one in the northwest. Each of those were four fields.
And by the way, if you've not been out to the baseball fields, if you're like me, you played on them when you were a kid and you hadn't been back, you really do have to go back and see those two north quads.
Yeah, they're pretty nice.
It's pretty fantastic. Nice. I mean, this is a top quality facility now.
Sure. And so this next phase is going to be just a continuation of that. It's actually going to address what was originally what they called the main quad out there.
Right.
Just by the kind of on the hill by the concession stand.
It was the nicest one.
It was, yeah. That's kind of that was really the nicest part of the complex, other than the fields maybe down below. And so essentially we're going to address that. There's four fields that are now in a concession stand with restroom, and that's essentially going to go away. We're going to go back with four larger fields. It's part of a future fiveplex of fields. Well, we're going to build four of them, and we'll have concession stand facilities on the north side and restroom, and also on the south side. And then we'll have some batting cages, some outbuildings, and some additional parking.
And so that's going to be additional parking,
which is key.
as we knew, as we've developed this park, the plan wasn't perfect, and we've discovered that we had a need for additional parking. So you've
that's
now
correct.
Managed to include that in the plan. Now, in future phases, what would be we anticipate there'll probably be one to two more phases to complete this out. So what's ultimately, what's the grand plan? What does that look like?
The grand plan, again, is to have five fields there where that kind of concession stand is now, and then we'll do two to three larger fields down below where the, I guess they used to call it the Colt fields, the AA fields, the Pony League, all that. So basically 14 and under, and then also high school type fields. I think Wesleyan right now is using that larger high school field. So we'll redo those fields. We'll actually upgrade and install a signalized intersection there by Evans. And my time's running down. He's counting down.
I'm actually on video as I'm giving him the countdown.
It'll be great.
And we're going to get the hook for you guys. So
that's right. Thank you, Charlie. We appreciate it.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON Bartlesville and K227CQ Bartlesville.